Well, hey, if you have a Bible, let's go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Anybody tired from this last week? No, well, I guess you guys are ready for round two. Y'all ready to load up on the planes and head back to Guatemala and Haiti? Anybody ready to go back to school? Yeah, there we go. One of the things that I love about this service is that we get to celebrate, and we get to remember all God did through the week, through sharing and hearing how God actively worked, but also through continuing worship and continuing singing songs to our King, and just honestly talking with each other. Now, it's interesting. We are people who love to talk about things. I mean, you don't have to really prompt you guys to talk about different things, but there's a question that I want to look at before we jump into the text of what do we like to talk about? What are the things that really get us excited? And for some of us, it might be just the natural debate of is LeBron better than MJ? What about KD? We'll throw KD in there. Is KD better than MJ? What about Steph? No. Okay. So what about Seth Curry? Anybody even know that there was a Seth Curry to the Steph? It's a younger brother. Yeah, they're brothers. It's fine. It's all right. It's easy to get that mixed up. What about Russell Westbrook? Who said that? Ty? What about just simply the Hogs? Do we have any seniors going to the U of A? Are you guys excited about football season? You shouldn't be, but are you? We love talking about the Hogs or certain different sporting events. What about homework? Y'all love talking to each other about your homework. Some would call this cheating. Some would call it collaboration. I'm just going to make it clear. If you are sharing the answers, that would not be collaboration. That would be cheating. But we like to talk to each other about our homework assignments or things that are going on at school. But we also really love talking about our mission trips. And so, who went to Guatemala in here? Tell me just a couple things that you really loved about Guatemala. You can just raise your hand and share. Anybody bold enough? The PB&Js. You can have PB&Js here. Is that like a unique thing, like the peanut butter of the jungles of Guatemala and the jelly straight off of the grape trees? I don't even think they're grape trees. I think they're vines. But what's so special about the PB&Js? Huh. You what? Made with love? Someone make me a PB&J from Guatemala. All right? At some point in life, you can't make it because you don't have the apple jelly? Oh, okay. See, look at that. We already had a dialogue about Guatemala. We can talk about it all day long. What else about Guatemala? Did you say war zone? You guys were in a war zone in Guatemala? Like a literal war zone? That's not good. Y'all should not be in war zones, Amy. What else about Guatemala? The team. Did y'all have a good team? The best team. Haiti, do you guys think that Guatemala had the best team? What was great about Haiti? Who went on the Haiti trip? Jake, you went on that trip. Mackenzie, what was fun about the Haiti trip? Or what was your favorite part?
On Tuesday, we went to this church in Haiti, and on Tuesday night, like, they were singing a song in Creole, and we were singing a song in English, and we had a ginormous dance party.
That's awesome. That's much more spiritual than Guatemala's PB&Js, so I appreciate that. Ain't inside jokes.
No.
Al, come sit down here. What are you doing all the way up there? You can join us. What else was great about Haiti? Anything.
The kids.
Again, more spiritual than Guatemala. What about Memphis? Who went to Memphis? What was good about Memphis? Dane. Dangerous Dane is what I've heard. What else? Just give me one more thing about Memphis. Serving with Icon. It's pretty intense what they do. It's really incredible, the ministry that they're a part of. And we're super thankful. Danny, this is crazy. This is just off the record. Danny is a resident, and most of you guys are aware of that, but he doesn't act like one because he is fully capable of leading trips like Memphis all by himself. And so we're really thankful for Danny and literally all the hard work he put into helping y'all on that trip. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Danny. We appreciate you. We naturally like to talk about things. You guys will have tons of stories. You'll go, you guys have group me's that you have going, and you'll hang out and you'll tell stories, or you'll talk about other things that are going on. We naturally talk about things. And what we're going to see in Colossians 4 is this idea that we are supposed to talk to God about people. We're supposed to actually talk and engage in conversation with God about people. But we're also supposed to talk to people about God. See, on one side, we talk to God about people. On the other side, we actually talk to people about God. So this first idea, talking to God about people, if you have your Bibles, Colossians 4:2 reads this. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And the idea there is that with this, the thought of continue means that they were already doing it. That the people in Colossae had a part of their DNA being prayer. In the same way, you guys probably prayed quite a bit over the last week. Did anybody pray at all this last week? Go ahead and raise your hand. Continue to steadfastly pray. So we oftentimes go on mission trips, or we oftentimes go to church and we pray and we talk to the Lord. And then the moment we get home or the moment we enter into school, we forget that we still have that ability to dialogue with him. But Paul's going to say, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. What does it mean to be watchful? I think there's a part that you and I can actually expect God to do incredible things. But we also should be engaged and focused intently. Many of you guys are watching March Madness right now. Is anybody bracket just destroyed? You can raise your hand. Yeah, just demolished. But did anybody watch the game winner the other night? Did anybody watch the game winner? I think it was Florida versus Wisconsin. Think about it. Think about if you're a Florida Gators fan just watching the screen. Danny is a Florida. You don't have to. You are a Florida Gators fan because you're from Florida. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, Danny. But think about the Florida Gators fans watching that game. Time's running out. They're down. You can just see them leaning in their chairs, hoping that the guy makes a shot. Watching intently, focused, locked in, that their player is going to come through and win the game. We watched Zootopia at Colcord. Anybody like this movie? It's an incredible movie. I caught myself again. This is the second time I've watched this. I caught myself again, locked in on that last scene when the fox gets hit by the little tranquilizer thingamajig. I don't even know what it really is, but he gets, what is it? Oh, Pell, yeah, he gets hit by that thing. And you're watching and you're going, is this about to happen? Does Disney make this movie, by the way, or is it Pixar? Disney. I'm not looking at the screen. I just Googled it and put it on there without really looking at anything. But I'm watching going, Disney's about to go crazy. They're going to let this fox rip this bunny's head off. And this is going to ruin every Disney movie for me. You watch intently. Paige and I watched 4 hours of NCIS yesterday. That was kind of bad. But this was, we watched the first episode, and it was a series that you had to stay kind of locked in, a lot like Netflix. But I remember we watched the first episode, and there's these crazy guys who escape from prison, and they're trying to kill multiple NCIS agents, and the Nozo is trying to figure things out because they're targeting Ziva. And you watch the first episode, and it's super intense, and then it ends, and it says, to be continued, which means I have to stay and watch this. And so we watch the next episode, and it, again, leaves you on a cliffhanger, and then we're going all the way to the very last episode. And I don't want to, has anybody watch NCIS? I don't want to ruin it. Yeah, Ziva dies. She gets destroyed by a mortar. It's crazy. And you can watch, Ziva is the girl on the left. Dinozo is the one right here. Sorry. Yeah. And you can watch Dinozo. Dinozo is just in tears. He's just crying because of how much he loves Ziva. And it's so funny. You look over and you see Paige is on the couch and she's just bawling in tears. And then I'm crying because I love this show so much. And we're just watching in anticipation of what's going to happen. And then Dinozo apparently has a kid with Ziva, and it shows up, and then he's got to now be a father, and he actually turns in his badge, and he says, I'm done. So that's the way that ends, by the way, if you guys were wanting to watch. Ziva dies, and Dinozo turns in his badge, and we're on to a new season. And then we have an election that many of y'all watched, and we'll move on. But continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. See, God calls us to pray with an expectation that he's going to do something. Many of y'all experienced this on your trips this last week, that you prayed that God would do something, and you expected it. You prayed with an expectation, and you watched closely to see if he was going to come through. Pray with an expectation of God to do something. And he continues on, he says, pray also for me, or us. Pray that God would open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. See, it's a very specific prayer that Paul is requesting. He's saying, hey, will you pray to God for us and pray to God that he would open up a door for this gospel to go forward? He says, also pray that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. See, oftentimes we get in this fog whenever it comes to sharing our faith. Has anybody ever felt nervous when they've tried to just talk about God with anybody? You can raise your hand. We're all in the same boat on this one. Oftentimes we're talking and we're trying to figure out the right things to say and how to say them so that we don't offend somebody, and we just start developing this fog in our minds as to how to actually communicate the gospel. It's crazy to think that we can actually pray that God would help clear things up. And so Paul is making a request that we would be intentional to pray for other people, intentional to pray even for ourselves, that God would open up opportunities for us to share our faith, that God would open up opportunities for us to share the story of Jesus in a clear way. So ask God for opportunities to share the gospel clearly, both personally and for others. it's pretty interesting. We are in a time when we desperately need to be praying for each other. And we desperately need to be praying for each other to have confidence in the gospel. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you guys a little bit of time to talk to God about people. And so I know some of y'all are in your cell groups, and we're going to give y'all about a minute or two to just pray for the ministries that we served this last week. And so we were in Memphis, and we served with Icon. We were in Guatemala and served with CASA. We were in Haiti, and we were serving with Mission of Hope. But also, maybe spend a couple of seconds praying for each other to be confident to go back home and share your faith with other people. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and then I will come up and close this with that, and then we'll continue on to the second part. You guys can pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you for today and for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we pray for Icon right now that you would continue to open up opportunities in the community of Memphis to proclaim the gospel and to see salvation, and for CASA as more and more kids come and join in what's going on, Lord, that they would hear the gospel in a clear way, and for a Mission of Hope that you would continue to give them favor in the communities of Haiti so that your gospel may be known. And for these students, Lord, and for our team in Ecuador who is still on their way back, Lord, we pray that they would be bold and they would open their mouths to talk not only to you about their friends, but they would actually talk to their friends. So give them boldness, give them clarity. Lord, I pray for each individual one of them in this room that you would give them the courage to clearly communicate the gospel to those who desperately need it. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we talk to God about people. But we also have a responsibility to talk to people about God. And we see this, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. See, time is such a fascinating concept because we're always running out of it. We never know when somebody will die. We never know the next time we're going to be able to see somebody. We never know when Jesus is going to come back. So make the most of the time you have. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. The way that you live your life, are you living it in a way that is wise? In a way that outsiders look at it and go, man, I respect the way that they are actually living their life. Or do you blend more in with the culture than you realize? Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. If you remember the illustration, does anybody remember the illustration I did maybe a year ago where we had all the different salts out and we talked about how salt actually brings good to the community? Salt actually helps things. It preserves meat. It adds flavor and gives some life to things. It also helps remove dead skin from your hands. It does all of these different things in the same way you and I are supposed to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus said. And then Paul picks up that same language by saying that you are supposed to be seasoned with salt. That the way that we live our life, the way that we communicate to each other, the way that we talk to other people is actually supposed to give life to them instead of suck it from them. The way that we talk is actually supposed to draw people into a curiosity for Christ rather than reject him altogether. I spoke at Bentonville's world religion class about a week and a couple of days ago, and my heart hurt so bad for the brokenness that exists in our schools and how Christians have done, you guys, and I'll be honest with you, FSM students, I really respect. I think you guys do a good job with this. But as a whole, it just seemed like there was a lot of anger from people towards Christian in those classes because of the way we treat people, because how we live hypocritically. Paul's giving a very strong challenge here. He's saying not only should your life reflect Christ in the way that you live, the way that you interact with non-believers, but the way you talk is even more important. The way you say things to people, the things you say to people are either going to tear them down or build them up. And if we continue to tear people down, then we have no right to talk to them about the God who wants to build them up in a new life. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. And he ties it all together so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We have a responsibility, and the people in Icon got hit with this really hard. We are supposed to talk to people about Jesus. It's a commandment. We don't get to move around it. It's not just a part of it that we can grab every now and then. It is our responsibility. It's not only a commandment, but it's how Jesus lived his life. Offering up opportunity for people's questions to be answered. Because in Christ was life. And people in that time were so confused as to how to live it. And we're not in a much different time right now. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders so that you may know how to answer their questions. This is high school, Thomas. Sweet mustache. And this is the reality. And this isn't me trying to brag because I had a ton of personal struggles when I was in high school, but I tried to really live this out. I became a follower of Jesus going into my junior year of high school. I had zero knowledge of this. I couldn't tell you where different books of the Bible were. I did not necessarily know about the small and the big numbers and the little numbers. But what I did know is I was broken and that Christ saved me and that I was supposed to go and live like Christ to my friends who didn't know him. And I remember very vividly sitting in home ec class and making tortilla soup, and it was delicious. And I remember Jake and Laura. Jake and Laura were the partners in my group, and both of them just completely hated Christianity. And I made it my goal to love the heck out of them. And I made it my goal to walk in wisdom in relation to them. I did not joke about the same things they joked about. I did not endorse the same sins that they endorsed. I loved them, and I cared for them. And I remember getting a text from Jake one night, who he told me that day at school that he just got hammered drunk and that he was really wrestling with some stuff. And I got a text message at like 9:30 at night just saying, I don't know what to do. I need help. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Let your speech be seasoned with salt so that you may be able to answer them when they have questions. See, live a life ultimately that shines Jesus and shares Jesus. Live a life that shines Jesus to people. But at some point, you also got to share Jesus with them. So we talk to God about our friends. We talk to God about each other and pray for clarity to share the gospel. We pray for ministries to be able to share the gospel. But also, we talk to people about God. It's two sides of the same coin. We have to be people who are willing to talk to God, but we also have to be people who are willing to talk to people. And here's kind of our just practical applications. And again, I want to encourage you guys. You do a lot of these things really well. And I am really humbled to get to serve with you guys because I see these things lived out. But just as you were praying all last week for the people of CASA or ICON or Mission of Hope or just anything, continue to pray for others. But also continue to live like Jesus. I guarantee you most of you were very excited and very pumped while you were in Guatemala. because you actually felt like you were living like Christ. You got to love kids. There was no baggage attached to any of the relationships you were in. Are you going to be willing to continue to live like Jesus amongst your friends this week? And then lastly, I want you guys to continue to share Jesus with other people. And it's terrifying. It is terrifying to open your mouth and ask them if they want to know more about Jesus. It is terrifying to try to answer their questions when they talk about their brokenness. That's why you talk to God about others, and then you talk to others about God. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for the work you did in all of the different locations this last week. We pray that your spirit would continue to be moving in those areas, drawing people to salvations. But we also pray for our students as they head back home and head back to their schools, to Bentonville, to Rogers and Rogers Heritage and West and Springdale and Harbor and literally all the other schools. Pray that you would go before them, that you would comfort them, and that you would work in their lives to clearly proclaim the gospel through them. You go before us, and you prepare hearts. We will be faithful to talk to them about you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.